Good morning again. Excuse me. God works in many and mysterious ways. Barbara, my message this morning is about prayer. We'll see. Well, last week, Mr. DeVries brought us a message, and at the beginning, he vowed that he would set a new record for brevity. And he did pretty well. Not to be outdone, I vow to set a new record for longevity, eclipsing the previous record set by, oh yeah, that would be me too. Oh, I need to collect myself a little bit here. We heard a story from Luke chapter 18. And here is another story from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5 and reading through verse 13. And this is Jesus speaking to them. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, soften our hearts, open our minds and our ears to hear what you have to say, Lord. Speak through me, I pray. Get me out of the way. Let us explore your word and what you have to say to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The title of my message got lost in translation a little bit. Your bulletin says, keep on moving on. It's actually supposed to be keep on keeping on. And as you can see, that ties in with these two stories this morning. We've got two stories, both from Jesus. They are similar. They are two parables. One is specifically identified as a parable. We have a woman who comes to an unbelieving judge seeking justice against her adversaries. And then we have a man who comes to his friend in the middle of the night, sleepy man, if you will, asking for bread that he might take care of his friend who has come to visit him, presumably unannounced. So two similar stories and two similar responses. The judge says, go away, don't bother me, I'm sick of you. The man says, don't bother me, I'm in bed sleeping. But that's not the end of the story. You see, parables are interesting things. You can't take snippets out of context. You have to look at the whole thing. In reality, what we see, in spite of the denials, was similar outcomes. Ultimately, the woman got her justice. How did she get it? She got it out of frustration. I like the translation that Ben was reading from, and I don't remember exactly what it said, But the New International Version says, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out by keeping coming around. The man who visited his friend ultimately got his bread, didn't he? Because he was a friend? No, Jesus says, he got the bread because he was persistent. He kept on asking. He wouldn't go away. Two stories, two similar responses, two similar outcomes. Same message. It's a very simple one. Keep on keeping on. As I was looking at these stories and thinking about prayer, it dawned on me that we have a couple of kind of troubling pictures here. Who in the parable that Jesus is telling is being petitioned here? What's the analogy? Well, I think we can safely assume he's saying, keep praying, and if you're praying, who do you pray to? You pray to God. And yet, these aren't particularly comforting pictures of God, are they? Remember what a parable is. It's a story to prove and demonstrate one simple fact. We always get into trouble when we get into a parable and we start peeling back the layers looking for different messages in there. That was not Jesus' intent with a parable. It was to make a point. And it was to make a point to the people that were listening to him in such a way that they could not mistake it. So, we see here in Luke 11 that the story about the man with asking for the bread. Jesus is very clear. Did he get the bread because he was a friend? In other words, the rules of hospitality required in that culture that you take care of your friends. And if they asked, you responded. Did he get it because he deserved it as a friend? Absolutely not. He got it because he persisted. The same with the unbelieving judge who didn't care about God or man. Did the woman get justice? And we don't know exactly what her situation was, but did she get it because she deserved to get the justice? No, she got it because the judge ultimately got fed up. Now, what are we to think from these two pictures of the one being petitioned? Is God saying to us, is Jesus saying to us about God, don't bother me in the middle of the night? Is he saying, go away? You're driving me crazy here. I don't want to see you again. And to do that, I'll give you what you want? Absolutely not. That's not what Jesus is portraying. The simple message here is really keep coming to God with prayers and petitions. The sleepy man, the unbelieving judge are imperfect pictures, but they do prove a simple point. We go back to the context of these two stories. What comes next? Let's look at Luke 18. Jesus says here in verse 6, listen to what the unjust judge says. What does he mean by that little line? Listen to what the unjust judge says. The message is from the unjust judge is, if you keep coming, I'm going to give you what you want. He then goes on to say, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice and quickly. So the point is made. We see an unjust, unbelieving judge who gives in to persistence, and Jesus says, and will God not do even more for those of his children that come to him on a consistent basis? He will listen and he will answer. We go back to the story about the man looking for bread. And we find the same kind of response here ultimately. Jesus says, he says after telling this story, so see, he's referencing back to that story. So, I say to you, what? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And then he talks about the Father and what he will give to his children and what he won't give to his children. And he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our Father in heaven will give it. There are some interesting tidbits in these two stories. We'll go back to Luke 18. And I just love the way Ben read this for me. Remember what the last line said? No, you don't. I will tell you what the last line says. After all of this, the woman gets her justice. Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Where'd that come from? What Jesus is saying is, at least I think so, and I say to you, do we recognize answered prayer? Do we see when God has come and responded to what we've asked for? There's a little story about that, you know, and it's a story I can share with you because I asked him if I could do this. Scott Beckwith was out in a parking lot one day, and it was full. It was full, and he was short on time. So he prayed that, Scott's a man of prayer. Lord, give me a parking spot. And if you give me a parking spot, I promise you I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll be the lay leader. I'll go to the prayer meetings. And whatever else you want me to do, Lord, I promise you, if you give me a parking spot, that's what I'll do for you. And just then a car pulls out of a parking spot right in front of him. And Scott says, never mind, I found one. Do we recognize when God has responded to us and answered our prayers? Are we thankful when God answers our prayers? One of my favorite verses in Scripture is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, how? With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Little things, big things, the Scripture says, bring everything. And how are we to bring it? With thanksgiving. And our prayers will be answered. Scott prays in parking lots. Interestingly enough, so does Barbara. And it is amazing, when I'm riding with her and she's driving, we always get a spot right by the front door of Kohl's, which generally ends up costing me a lot of money. When should we pray? Again, we can go to Scripture, to the great book of James. James is like a handbook for living. When should we pray? James says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him. So, when we're in trouble, we always go to the Lord in prayer when we're in trouble, don't we? When we're sick, yeah, probably. When we're happy, maybe not quite so often. James is clear. Trouble, happiness, sing songs of praise, or sick. Then there's a troubling verse that follows that. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. What does that suggest to us? That sickness is the result of sin? Maybe. If we reflect upon that at all, we examine our lives, and if we live in a pattern of sin, what does it do to us? We know better, but we continue. It drags us down. It makes us vulnerable. And when we become vulnerable, we become more susceptible to becoming ill, sick, all sorts of sicknesses, perhaps depression, perhaps anxiety, perhaps a physical malady. Is sickness the result of sin? Well, not always, but it can be. And James has words for us. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that the sin is removed and we might be forgiven as we confess and repent and we can enjoy good health again, which Christ wants us to have. Then he goes on to say, and he finishes this passage, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man. He talks here about Elijah. This is just a great little snippet. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly. He prayed in faith that it would not rain, and it did not rain over the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. What's James saying here? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Look at Elijah, a righteous man. He prayed, and look what happened. But how does he start it out? Elijah was a guy just like us. We know the story of Elijah, all the great things that he did, all the great stories in Kings and Chronicles. But he was a guy just like us, called out by the Lord to be of service, moved by the Holy Spirit to pray earnestly in faith, and look what happened. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's reiterated in Proverbs, where it says the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, the sinful, those that have not confessed and repented. The prayers could fall on deaf ears. But the prayer of the upright, the righteous, pleases him. Good words for us to consider as we go about our lives. Then we have the dilemma of how we should pray. There are times, aren't there, when we're just all upset. We're in trouble or we're sick. All of these opportunities that we have to come in prayer. And sometimes we are just so beside ourselves that we don't even know what to say. Paul addresses that in Romans chapter 8. And Dave says, he's going to talk about predestination again, which is Romans chapter 8. No, we're going to go a little bit further into Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. In those times, we would do well to just be quiet, be at rest. Let the Holy Spirit of God do his work. He knows the will of the Father. The will of the Father, which he prays will be accomplished in us, is a good and perfect will. And it's a good and perfect will for each and every one of us. And that's the way the Spirit prays for us, in groans and moans that we can't begin to understand. Imagine that. But the Father hears, and he answers according to his will, because the Spirit knows the heart. God knows the heart. He searches our heart. What is he looking for? Well, we come back to that sin problem. Clear away the sin. Clear away the sin. Confess, repent, and then just be quiet. Let the Holy Spirit do his work, asking his Father, asking our Father, to accomplish his will in us. Sometimes we just don't know how to pray. We weren't alone in that. The disciples, during the Sermon on the Mount, said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." And he gave them this beautiful prayer that Barbara just sang for us. Let us say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.